Hey, good morning.
Morning.
You can do the preliminary.
Thank you. Okay.
Good morning. It's good to see you in God's house today. I can see everybody's wrapped up pretty good, staying warm. And we do have a warm sanctuary, but it does help to have extra layers on for sure. And I'm glad you made it out today and into the house of the Lord for Bible study and worship. And we've got a lot to be thankful for. I know the children that were baptized today were thankful for the warm water in the baptistry. What a blessing that is. So let's pray as we move forward and focus on the Lord. Lord, we do want to focus on you right now and your presence and your power and your glory. May we proclaim the glory of the Lord through the music today, through the spoken word, and may we trust you and worship you with all that we are. Help us to do that, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit help us to sing your praise and to be true worshipers, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Help us to not be distracted by the things of this world, but to focus on you, that you would receive the glory from the way we live, the way we speak, the way we treat other people. And Lord, we ask that you would help us today in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's service is about worship, and so we want you to worship the Lord with us as we sing. Let's stand and worship him together by singing the great hymn, O Worship the King. It's hymn number 104. We'll sing the first, second, and last stanzas.
Oh, worship the King, a glorious above, and
our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad the Lord has led you to worship with us today. We have special guest today. Frank Jones is with us on his annual time at First Baptist Church. And so in just a few moments after we do our offertory, then Frank will start and lead us in worship. And so we're always glad to have Frank Jones as a part of First Baptist Church. Glad you're with us today. Take a moment or two. Welcome your friends. Good to see you.
Continue our singing today. Used to be called our song service. Remember those days? It's mighty good. Before we have our offertory today, Frank will come and begin leading us at that point. Just want to have a prayer for him and for Joel, and then we'll receive our morning offering as usual. It's going to be hymn number 122, Glorious is Thy Name. We'll sing all four stanzas. So let's pray. Lord God, we love you and we magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers when we call on your name and believe and trust in you with our whole heart. We know that you're at work in our lives, and we want to be at work in our lives for you. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to make an impact for the kingdom of God right here in Gunnersville and really throughout the world through prayer, through mission offerings, and through mission trips and opportunities to go. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to fulfill your great commission to definitely go and make disciples, baptize. And Lord, I pray that your name would be magnified in us throughout the world as we proclaim the good news through music, through spoken word, just every opportunity, Lord, that we would take full advantage of that. Strengthen Frank today as he comes to share with us your word, and through music and through the spoken word, that you'll bless him. Thank you for what he's already done as he's been here this morning and encouraging so many people and blessing you through music. We're thankful for Joel, our pastor, and pray that you'll fill him with your spirit. And as he proclaims the word of the Lord today, that we would hear it, that we would respond to it, and you would help him as he delivers that message that you've laid upon his heart today. Strengthen us now as we sing and as we give, that you would be exalted in all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful hymn 122, Glorious is thy name, O Lord.
Glorious is thy name, O Lord. Glorious is our name, O Lord. Glorious is our name, O Lord. Good morning. Would you join me to pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with thankful hearts this morning, just thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings on each and every one of us. And we just pray for our country today. We pray for those people who are struggling with weather-related issues. We just pray that you'd be with them and get them through these struggling times in their lives. And as we come now, this portion of service, when we can give back just a little bit that you've so graciously given to each one of us, we just pray that we will use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning, First Baptist. It's good to be back here today. Over the past year, I took some time and created a new CD. And for several years, I'd been on this thought pattern about the hymn, Take the Name of Jesus With You. And the last part of that song, it says, precious name, O our sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. And I can proclaim to you today that Jesus is the hope of earth. He's the only hope that we have. Our hope lies not in who sits in any government position. Our only hope is in Christ alone. And not only is that, but he is the joy of heaven. And one day, we'll go to be with him forever, and we will experience that joy firsthand. This is Take the Name of Jesus With You. Thank you. sing this with me, precious name. Sing it, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. I want you to sing that with me just one more time. Here we go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Come on, church, sing it. Oh. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth. Joy of heaven. Oh, and I hope he's that for you today. To know that he is our hope here today, that you experienced that hope firsthand in your life. That in truth, one day you can enjoy him as the joy of heaven. Well, I'm always glad to be back at First Baptist. 14 years ago, in January, I was beginning a new phase of ministry, and I wanted to start it here because this is where my spiritual pilgrimage started, right here at First Baptist. When I was 9 years old, I was saved during a revival and was never looked back since. The night I was baptized, some of you in here will remember that service. Brother Edwards baptized 76 people that night. 76 people. It was the service. There was no tag on. It was like the service that night. And they had the chapel choir, which was the youth choir, but they sang in the choir that night. And they were going to light candles for every person that was baptized. And somehow, during one of the baptisms, the water came over the window and put the candles out. Honest truth. But I owe so much to this church family, for what you poured into me. And in this room here this morning are people that I've grown up with all my life. We came to Wednesday night supper every Wednesday night. And it was potluck every Wednesday night. It was good, Joel. It was good. And so many memories wandering as I think through today. I'm blessed. But because of how you pray for me, how you give to our ministry financially, how you support by just your words of comment and best wishes, means so much to me as what I do and as I'm on the road. I was out there tens of thousands of miles this year, over 70 churches across Alabama and other parts of the Southeast. Was able to be in congregations for as little as 10 people. People said, you would go to a church with only 10 people? I said, yeah. That's what I'm called to do. It wasn't about the numbers. It's about being faithful to what God wants me to do. And I'll do that. And I find such joy in those places. Because I think nobody will ever come to our church. But I do. And I will continue to do that. The Lord's blessed us in our Oasis events. We did this last year. We did several across the Southeast. Our big one was in Birmingham at Trustful. Some of you were there that day. We had Mark Lowry with us this year. And in July of this year, we're going to have this singer. Some of you have probably heard her name is Sandy Patty. Sandy's going to be with us in July. And Paul will have those tickets available because you don't want to wait too long to buy them because it's going to be a sellout. But we're glad that the Lord gives that opportunity for me to travel and share this event across the Southeast. Just finished one last week down in Florida, and I'll be over in Bay Minette in a couple of weeks down there. So I'm excited about those opportunities there. But also I get to travel the state as a state missionary. First Baptist gifts to the cooperative program help sustain what I do through the ministry of our department there, where I'm senior adult strategist. I'm not old enough to be a senior adult, I know that. Is the altar open yet? So I can make sure I do that. But I get the opportunity to give counsel and direction to our churches in Alabama, our Baptist church in Alabama. And the Lord's been good and gracious to grant me that opportunity. And but just to be able to come and be here, got to thinking about it this morning. I think the old building went this way, I believe. And I don't know for sure if the measurements work, but I have a pretty good feeling that where this piano sits is about where the piano sat in the old sanctuary. And I was reminded of the first time I ever played in public, as far as for church, not in recital, but as in a church service. I was 12 years old. And David Hampton was our minister of music then. And he asked me to play for the service that night, play for the adult choir. Told him I would. And we were going to do an arrangement of Amazing Grace. And the adult choir was going to sing. And my little mama, you remember Helen. Some of you remember Helen. She was sitting right over there on the front row. And Hazel, I guess you were back in the back singing there somewhere, I'm sure. But anyway, I got time to play for this song. And this was the introduction to Amazing Grace. And when it got time to play that introduction, here's what I played. And I don't have no idea where that come from. But Mr. Hampton looked at me sort of puzzled. He said, "Let's do it again." So I said, "Okay." And this went on a couple more times, and he looked at me, just said, "Look down." And I said, "Well, maybe I need to look at the music." And I looked at it, and there was a little six words that I had missed. It said, "Not too slow with strict time." And so I knew enough, I mean, I could speed it up, and I knew enough from taking piano, the way to keep the steady beat was to nod your head. That's what Sandra Martin taught me to do, okay? If she was here, she may be watching live stream. "Sandra, this is for you." So I said, "Okay, I can do that." So here I went. He stopped again, and this time he walked over behind the piano and showed me what I had done, and I said, "I will never touch a piano again as long as I live on this earth." But I looked over at my mom, who was on the front row, and you know how mamas are. They'll say, "Baby, it's okay. Mom will take care of everything." I looked over at her, and she put her folder up right in front of her face. She did. We never talked about that at home, of course. But I'm grateful for God's grace and His provision through the years. And that grace will eventually lead me home to be with the Lord. But one thing I'm sure of is His faithfulness day by day. The song says His mercies are new every single day. That is something everyone in this room can grab hold to today. That whatever happened yesterday, and if God gives us tomorrow, It'll be just a fresh start every single day. Listen now to Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Won't you sing with me?
All my life you have been faithful, and all my life, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, thank you, Frank. That never gets old. Ever. I've been listening to him play Jesus Loves Me since I was in junior high school. And it never, ever gets old. Yeah, it's been a long time ago, Frank. So on a cold January Sunday night, back when we were still doing Sunday nights, Frank, in 2012, this is where he launched that ministry, this Frank Jones ministry. And boy, to see, be a part of that ministry and to watch and see how that thing has grown and all the different things that God leads you to do every year, all year long, is absolutely fabulous to be a part of that. So thanks, Frank, for coming to be a part. When we're done, CDs and all those things are out there, and we'll talk about that and a love offering as well. We'll have an opportunity to be a part of that ministry. All right, Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, for those of you that are new, we're not going through the verse by verse through Amos. We're just kind of hitting the subjects in each different chapter. And we're beginning of the new year, we're looking at Amos. And we're talking about this prophecy that God had given to him to give to God's people. And so we'll be talking about some of the minor prophets over the course of this year, but right now we're just kind of walking through Amos. It would be very easy to read any minor prophet, but Amos 1, and think that, God, this is just awful. This is just doom and gloom and judgment and anger. But the reality is, once you dig into Amos or any of the other minor prophets, you realize, no. It's not doom and gloom at all. It's the exact opposite. Reality is that this is God trying to show His grace to His people. This is God showing the people, His own family, the reality of where they're headed. If you don't heed my words, I'm your creator. I've created you. I've created the world, and I've created how this world runs and exists. And if you're not careful, this is where you're headed. So this was a word of grace that God was giving to his people. Not a word of anger and judgment. It was the exact opposite. And what we have found out already at the beginning of January of 2026, we have found out that God's people, 2,700 years ago, faced the same exact stuff that we face to this day. I mean, 2,700 years ago, Amos was the mouthpiece of God, and he was saying to God's people these different things that we've already dealt with. And here we are, living beyond the new covenant, 2,000 years beyond the new covenant in Jesus, and we're still dealing with these same issues. And so Amos is so important and so incredibly applicable to the things that we're going through here in our own lives in the new covenant in 2026 as we live in this world. All right, there's a lot of talk today about the value of faith and spirituality. And so the soundbite goes something like this. It doesn't matter what you believe in, just as long as you believe in something. So we have all of these gurus in the American culture. Tony Robbins, Jake Canfield, and others. And so they're constantly life coaches, and they are the perfect representation of our culture. It doesn't matter what you believe. They're trying to just get you to believe in something. So it doesn't matter what you believe in, just as long as you believe in something. And this is technically called pluralism. And we have the perfect American culture for pluralism. Why? Because we are known all over the world as the great melting pot. So the American experience, 250 years later, has created all of the cultures from all over the world, all joining together right here in this great land called the United States of America. And so all of these cultures have all integrated right here in America. And so the idea is that there's no one truth, see? There's no one truth. There are many truths. You In order to be successful, you need to just simply find the truth that is true for you and then go for it. So in this culture, there is this complete rejection that there are specific behaviors or there are beliefs that the God of Scripture does not approve of as valid. And so our culture then has reshaped God into something that is safe and something that is soft and something that is pliable. A feel-good God that you can ignore. Until when? Until you need Him. Then you can call on Him. But that's not the God of Scripture at all. For those of us living and looking back from the new covenant, back to the old covenant 2,700 years ago with God's people, that's not at all the God of Scripture. As a matter of fact, now 2,700 years later, living beyond in the new covenant, that's not God at all. Listen to what he says today. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals, solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings or your grain offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, here's what I want. Now listen. This was God speaking to his people, his family, almost 3,000 years ago. Instead, I want to see a flood, a mighty flood of justice. I want to see an endless river of righteous living. That is to say, your traditions, worship services, offerings, all of these things that you do, they don't impress me at all. What impresses me is your heart. What impresses me is truth. And for those of us living beyond the new covenant, what impresses me, God would say, is the truth claim of the gospel. All that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. What impresses me is justice and righteousness. Now it is important to note here that Amos is not talking to foreigners. So Amos is not at all preaching to people who didn't know any better. He's preaching to Israel. He's preaching to God's family. And the same is true for us today. God is not saying these things to pagans. Oh, wouldn't it just be easy to read all of these judgments and all of these oracles and all of these words of what God is going to do if we don't accept His grace? Wouldn't it be easy to look out at the American culture and say, yeah, they need to hear that? That'd be real easy. But God's not talking to them. God's not speaking to them. They have no choice but to live that way. God's speaking to us. Listen to what he says. Starting in verse 18. What sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you're wishing for. That day will bring darkness, not light. In that day you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, leans his hand against the wall of the house, and what? He's bitten by a snake. Yes, the day of the Lord will be dark and hopeless, without a ray of joy or hope. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings or grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Was it you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness of Israel? No. You were serving your pagan god Sekuth, your king god of Kaiwan, your star god. The images you made for yourselves. So I will not send you, or I will send you into exile, the land of east of Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of heaven's army. So, in both the old covenant and the new covenant, authentic worship. Now, I'm not talking about style here today, all right? Please get that out of your mind. We're not talking about what style is the right. No. We're not. That's not at all what Amos is talking about. We're talking about authentic worship. We're talking about worship that comes from the heart, worship that comes from the mind, the body, and the soul, that is lifting up in Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, it doesn't matter. Lifting up our hearts to God the Father, worshiping Him for who He is. So in the Old Covenant, that was a burning concern. In the New Covenant, it was a burning concern. Jesus had a great conversation with a woman, and it's recorded in John chapter 4. And we know this woman as the woman at the well. She was there by herself because she went later in the day, because she didn't want to go with all of the other women, because none of the women liked her. She was a bad woman. She'd already gone through four guys, was now living with the fifth. She wasn't a churchgoer. And the churchgoers didn't want anything to do with her. So Jesus is having, but Jesus would have something to do with her. And all of a sudden, Jesus enters into this conversation with her, which she couldn't even believe was happening. And they get toward the end of this conversation, and you know the conversation, but as they got toward the end, Jesus said to her, there's coming a day. As a matter of fact, he says, that day is already here. When true worshipers, do you listen to what he's saying? There's coming a day. As a matter of fact, there is already day. It is here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. And so the qualifier true implies that there are other kinds of worshipers in the world. There are false worshipers whose worship is not true. And furthermore, the Old Covenant prophets also had a lot to say about false worship. So Amos pronounced Israel's worship as despicable, not because of how they did it, not because of the instruments that they used or didn't use, not because of the style that he had given them to conform. No, it was that mere formalism had replaced hearts that were eager to truly worship. Worship was no longer transforming God's people. So here was the idea. And this is the part that stings. All right. This stung to God's people 2,700 years ago. And it stings to this day. So here was the idea that Amos was dealing with. You come to worship or church on Sunday, but then on Monday, you treat everybody like dogs. And God was saying, I'm not going to have it. God, we have already seen from the beginning of the book of Amos, God wanted, he didn't want these things for his people. This was a warning. God wanted, I'm giving you prosperity, I'm giving you success, I'm giving you wealth, and I want you to use that prosperity and that success and that wealth in order to be a light to our world. I want you to go out from Judah and Israel, and I want you to go to all of these uttermost parts of the world, and I want you to bring the light that God wanted to His people. But instead, they took prosperity, they took their success, they took all their wealth, and they kept it for themselves. And instead, they were oppressing, not shining light. They were the oppressors. The exact opposite of what God desired and wanted. So when they came to worship on Sunday, God was saying, noise to my ears. What I want is for worship to transform you. And they kind of had the attitude, hey, as long as we go to church, I'm golden. We're good. We can do whatever we want on Monday, Thursday, Saturday. We treat people however. We can do whatever we want. We can be oppressors all day long. Doesn't matter. I went to church on Sunday, God, remember? Yeah, well, that's not a good look. Boy, they were really offended when Amos was basically saying for them, on that day, this is what it'll actually be like if you don't change. But they were confident that their religion would put them in the right place, that it would be for them this day of great blessing. And Amos was saying, if you don't change your ways and you don't hear from God and you don't allow your heart to be moved in repentance and worship, then this is what the great day will look like, and it'll be bad. John Stott wrote, the problem was they were focusing on the external forms of religion, the aesthetics of worship, the things that made them feel good but missed the true nature of genuine piety. They were more concerned with style in worship than worshiping the one who gave them the style. They were more concerned with their religious traditions and how those traditions were carried out than adoring the one who created the traditions. They had turned their tithes and offerings into show. The songs they sang, the instruments they played became noise to God's ears. True religion, Amos indicates, is transformative. It's not about style. It's about what it creates within you. It's about how it changes you to become, for those of us in the new covenant, more like Christ. So last Sunday, we talked about, from Amos, we talked about repentance. God's people were living daily with entitlement rather than a repentant heart. And so when we came to the end of the sermon last Sunday, we talked about all these different things about repentance, but then we came to the end and I said, y'all, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of me. For me, it's a matter of saying to God every single day, God, I know who you are and I know who I am. I know that you are sovereign God, holy and righteous and perfect, and I am black-hearted sinner. And I need you every second of this day. I tell God just about every single day, God, don't let me leave the farm. And what I'm talking about is the prodigal son. To me, a repentant heart is like the prodigal son that realized when I left the farm, I found myself in a pigsty. And when he came back, he was repentant. Forgive me. But repentance was a matter of the heart for God's people. And the same is true when we talk about worship. We talk about truth and we talk about justice and we talk about righteousness. So God was saying to his people, I'm tired of hearing you talk. I'm tired of watching you perform. I'm tired of your half-hearted offerings. It's not that God wanted them to abandon the form of worship. No. It should be so deeply rooted within the heart that justice and righteousness and truth inevitably result. So God is not soft. He's not a feel-good God who can be ignored until we need something from him. No, that's just not God. And so if worship, whether it's Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, as the body of Christ, if worship is not leading us to repentance and to follow the truth claim, the only one truth claim from God's word, then it's not from the heart. One theologian wrote, the sacrifice of the wicked is really an abomination to God. He's not pleased with those who merely follow the forms of religion. He expects his people to be changed by its power so that they reflect in their lives and relationships something of his character. True. That's what worship is. And that's what Amos was trying so desperately to communicate to God's people, that worship transforms us to reflect God's character. And for those of us in the new covenant, what? The image of Christ. Anything other than that is, according to Amos, is garbage. And that's what it's going to lead to. Read it again when you get home. That's what it will lead to. Father, thank you for that powerful truth today from Amos, the minor prophet, to God's people thousands of years ago. And here we are, thousands of years later, and we still have hearts that are motivated by sin. And we need hearts motivated by truth, righteousness, justice, love, grace, forgiveness, repentance. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today through your prophet Amos so many years ago, and how the same thing is still true to this day. Those of us in the new covenant who've repented of sin and have trusted you as Savior and Lord of our lives should be daily motivated by truth and righteousness and justice to reflect the character of Christ. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, next Sunday, every day. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, Lord, be glorified. If you've never put your trust and your faith in Jesus, then we encourage you today to make that trust and make that commitment. If you need to join our church, whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do, you need to be obedient to that and follow that. Do that as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated. Reggie and Dee Rowe are coming today. They know Christ as their Savior and Lord. They have followed Christ in believers' baptism, and they have moved from Missouri back to Alabama. Alabama's was home, and then they left us and went to Missouri, and now they've moved back. They have something that brought them back to Gunnersville, Alabama, and that is a son, Elliot, who's one of our deacons at First Baptist Church, and three great little granddaughters that they love. And so they have moved to Gunnersville and have been coming to church with us since they moved to Gunnersville. So they're coming today saying they want to be officially a part of FBC Gunnersville. So I know that you are thrilled. All in favor? Seeing nobody opposed to the Rose coming here in just a few moments when we're done, then you'll have an opportunity to come by and encourage them. All right, what do we got first there, Will? All right, we had big day today. First, we had baptism in the early worship, right? So that is Emmy and Gray. So the next time that you see Emmy and Gray, then you make sure that you congratulate them on following Christ in baptism. Micah was able to baptize them. It was beautiful. Absolutely fabulous. All right? Now, then we've already had several that have joined the church today. First of all, that is Marcy and Greg Stringer. They used to live in Scottsboro. I think they're from Scottsboro. And she taught at Gunnersville Elementary School back in the late 80s and early 90s. They then moved off to Savannah, Georgia, have bought some land from Tina Whitmore out in Preston Island, are building a house, and have moved back here and started coming back to First Baptist Gunnersville and joined our church family this morning. So the next time you see the Stringers, encourage them, all right? Then we had Joe and Lisa Beam. Most of y'all know Joe and Lisa. Joe and Lisa, of course, been in Gunnersville her entire life. Joe was from Albertville, but married Lisa, moved to Gunnersville, been a part of the Gunnersville community and a part of this church family for many, many, many years. And they today are saying officially they're coming to join with First Baptist Church. So the next time you see all of them, make sure you say a word of encouragement, all right? Winter Bible study has gone excellent. Not good, excellent. This past week, Steve Rowe, it was fabulous. From John chapter 11. This coming week, this Wednesday night, we will have Rick Moody. And Rick Moody will be talking about the resurrection and the life. And I am, he'll be talking about I am the way, the truth, and the life from Gospel of John. You know from Rick Moody, it's going to be great. So 6 o'clock, if you're not off somewhere else helping with the children or the youth or at another women's Bible study or men's Bible study, come in here 6 o'clock and Rick will lead us and it will be absolutely fabulous, all right? Valentine Luncheon, our senior adults, Gunner's Landing Country Club. You see the date, February the 10th. Old Lord's Supper Table is our sign up. All right, a bunch of other stuff that the senior adults are doing. And Paul's got a pamphlet out there for you with all the information. But if you want to know more about those about the May trips, then make sure that you see make sure you see Debbie. Yeah, Paul's pointing at Debbie like Debbie, So see Paul and he'll get you the information that you need. All right, what else do we have? This next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, and we're getting the Prime Life Group. And the Prime Life Group is that group like me, my age, all right? So we have about 40 or 50 of us in this church, and we used to do some things. We kind of dropped it for a while, but Vince and Amy Glasgow have kind of taken that over. And the first one back is next Sunday afternoon at Vince and Amy's house. You see the address. You can call or just call the church office. We'll give you more information. And that's going to be next Sunday at 5:30 at their home. And we're just going to watch the Super Bowl and have a good time. So Prime Life Group next Sunday afternoon. Keep that in mind. All right. Anything else? No. Oh, Kim?
1 month from today, March the 1st, we're going to be hosting the Alabama Baptist One Voice Honor Choir, which is made up of high school and junior high singers from the state of Alabama. They're going to be here in this service at 10:30 on March the 1st. And two of our own, Gemma Brown and Ella Kate Smith, have auditioned and made it, and they're part of that choir. And so I want to encourage you to be here and support that. It's going to be great. I've previewed some of the music. It's going to be a wonderful service. So that's going to be, they're going to have an orchestra with young people playing instruments who are from all over Alabama too. So it's going to be a big day.
All right. Eddie and the ushers are going to be in the back. A love offering. If you like to share with Frank's ministry, this is love. I forgot that in the early worship, and I could kill myself for forgetting that. So in this worship service, you've got to double up because I forgot in the early worship. All right, so give a love offering to Frank. Come say a word of encouragement to the Rose as they join First Baptist Church, and then as you're going out. And he's got all of his CDs back there in the back as you're walking out of the sanctuary. And you can talk. He's got, if you don't have any cash, he's got a square. So all of that is out there, CDs, DVDs, see him. But then help us to give a love offering to Frank today. All right, let's all stand and close by singing what?
Doxology.
Doxology, all right.
Praise God.